In 2 Timothy, Paul tells his young protege to follow the pattern Paul had established.
Do not deviate from that. Follow that brushstroke, that stylus mark of the master, and imitate what has been written. This was Timothy's charge.
Dr. Stephen Nichols joins us today here on Renewing Your Mind. We've been highlighting our 2017 Ligonier National Conference held here in Orlando this past March. We celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Our speakers helped us realize the Reformation's impact on theology, worship, and preaching. And today we'll see the profound influence it had on discipleship, on what it really means to be a follower of Christ. Dr. Nichols wears many hats here at Ligonier Ministries. He's the president of Reformation Bible College, a Ligonier teaching fellow, a noted church historian, and he's our chief academic officer. As he gets started today, he'll be referring to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14.
Paul, in these verses, wants to draw our attention to doctrine. Let's listen to what Paul has to say. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. There's a command here. It's very simple. Follow. It's repeated in verse 14. Guard. These are the two imperatives. Follow and guard. He's saying the same thing. Paul, as you know, was trained in the Old Testament, and we have this great poetic expression of Hebrew parallelism. If to say it once is a good thing, why not say it twice? That's even better. And so we find this parallelism consistently in Paul, and that's what we find here. They're grammatically parallel, verses 13 and 14. There's the command, follow. Follow what? Follow the pattern of words, but not just any words, sound words. And these were the words which you heard from me. Then he repeats this in verse 14, guard. The Latin expression here is custodi, to be a custodian, a guardian. The guard what? The deposit, like words in verse 13, it's the deposit in verse 14. It's not just any deposit, it's the good deposit. And just as these were the sound words that you heard from me, this is the good deposit which has been entrusted to you. Do you see the parallelism? Perfect parallelism. Why do we repeat things? We repeat things for emphasis. Why do we repeat things? Oh, you're quick for a Saturday morning. I was concerned that you wouldn't quite have the RPMs revved up enough. You're with me. It is about words, isn't it? You've heard that expression. It's how you walk the walk. It's not how you talk the talk. Paul would not even recognize that. Of course it's how you talk the talk. Of course words matter. And not only words, but sound words. This is one of my favorite Greek words, sound. It comes directly into the English as hygienic, clean, healthy, free from that bad invisible stuff called bacteria, from parasites that can suck the life out of an organism. There's impure words. There are unhealthy words. There are unsound words. Just recently, I was at an event where Dr. Sproul was speaking, and he was at the beginning of the event. In his sermon, he gave a seminary lecture, as only Dr. Sproul can do, on Sola Scriptura, and ended with a rousing and inspiring declaration that the church's only hope is to proclaim the word of God, and it should do no other. And at the end of this event, it was followed by a speaker whose whole talk was predicated upon the four revelations that God directly gave him when he was 18 years old. There's sound words, and there are unsound words. There were unsound words that made their way into the first century church. The ink is not even dry on these epistles, and unsound words have infiltrated the church. What does Paul say to Corinth? What does Paul say to Galatia? Oh, you foolish Galatians. I'm astonished. You've allowed this unsound words to enter. And Paul is such a great teacher, isn't he? So vivid. He doesn't just say, follow sound words. Be hygienic, Timothy. He says, follow the pattern. The Greek word is a great word. Hupo tupo. You'll never forget that. Tupo is the idea of type. Remember the old click-clack typewriter? I miss those. Leaves an exact impression. As that type goes up and impacts the paper, leaves an exact impression. Call that a type. There's the Gutenberg model. The skilled craftsman carves, etches the letter. The printer arranges the type. The press is prepared. The type is blotted with the ink. The paper is placed upon it. The big press is turned. And there's an exact impression when the paper is lifted up. Type. We get that. We know what that means. Hupo tupo. This is how young scholars learned to write. The master would write the line on the page. And the pupil, the discipula, would come along and take the quill and get the ink and would follow the pattern. And directly under the line that was written, the disciple would imitate and copy and would learn and would follow the pattern. And it's a pattern of words. Follow the pattern of sound words. And then in verse 14, Paul gives us another image. This is an image of an inheritance. And so there is a deposit, a trust, a material thing. And this deposit, and the Greek word here literally means to put it beside you. It denotes the idea of taking care of this thing, of keeping it in close proximity so that a thief won't break in at night and take it, or that somehow it will simply disappear. But you keep it nearby, to put it beside you. That is what the Greek word literally means. And the Latin word is depositum, and it comes into the English as deposit. This is not just any deposit. This is the good deposit. And guard it. As if you were wealthy and you had an estate and you had the essence of that estate and you would hire a guard, custodians, so that your deposit would be safe. That's what you are, Timothy. You are a guardian. And you are a guardian of the good deposit. Paul is outlining for us here what discipleship is. Discipleship is following. Discipleship is guarding. And it's not in being innovative. Calvin says when Paul tells Timothy to guard this pattern of sound words, he is saying, don't simply hold fast to the broad strokes of my ministry. Paul talks about Jesus, I'll talk about Jesus. Paul talks about salvation, I'll... No. This is what Calvin says. The very form of expression. Do not deviate. Not one iota. Not just in the broad strokes. The very form of expression. Do not deviate from that. Follow that brush stroke, that stylus mark of the master, and imitate what has been written. This was Timothy's charge. These are hard words for this young man. He's in a challenging environment, isn't he? He's got challenges without. This is a Greco-Roman culture. Everything about it is opposed to biblical doctrine and a biblical ethic. This is a fledgling church, susceptible to syncretism, susceptible to error. There's the challenges of Timothy's age. There's the challenges of Timothy learning how to communicate and become articulate in a culture where rhetoric was everything. And let's not forget the fact that Timothy's following Paul. By any estimation, a genius, Paul. And they didn't use the expression 24/7 in the first century, but we'll say 24/6 because Dr. Godfrey is here somewhere reminding us of the Sabbath. But Paul was a 24/6 guy, wasn't he? Motivated, driven, smart. There's a lot of pressure on Timothy. And Paul says to him, this has been entrusted to you. Not just, here's something, take it. It's, I have this thing. It's precious. It's priceless. Its value is inestimable. And I'm giving it to you. And now you take this and you imitate it and you guard it. Paul doesn't just command. He also demonstrates what those sound words are. There's a content to these sound words. There's a content to our faith. In fact, if you go back up in the preceding verses, we see it. Let's take a look at verses 8 to 12. Everywhere in Paul, we see the content. Paul says in verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. That's content, the testimony of our Lord. Nor of me as prisoner, this is the occasion, Paul's in Rome. But share in suffering, I'm going to come back to that. Anytime Jesus talks about discipleship, doesn't he talk about suffering? Share in suffering for what? The gospel. There's the content, the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Timothy, how many times have I told you the gospel? I'm going to tell you one more time. Verse 9, this is the gospel. God saved us. God saved us. I heard this recently. Jesus died on the cross. And it is said by him, it is finished. Jesus' work is done. But if we don't do our part, everything Jesus did is useless. That's not the gospel. Those are unsound words. God saved us. So right off the bat, everywhere Paul makes us passive in this act of salvation. That is always the gospel. Do not deviate. It's a calling. We were called, and not only is it a calling, not only has God called us, God saved us, God called us, it's a holy calling. Now we have a great sound word, don't we? Holy. A holy calling, not because of our works. Justification by faith alone, justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. That's the gospel. And without it, it's not the gospel. It's another gospel, a different gospel, which Paul says is no gospel, Galatians chapter 1. Not by works alone, but because of his own purpose. Now we're getting into some sound words more, aren't we? Predestination, election, the good pleasure of his will. God is working all things for good, and that good is his pleasure, the fulfillment of his will. Let it be on earth as it already is in heaven. These are sound words. These are sound doctrines. How many times has Timothy heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul? Apparently, Paul said, I want to say it one more time. And then this wonderful sound word, isn't it? We are saved not by our own works. We are saved by the purpose of his will and his grace. Sola gratia, the grace of God alone. When Luther preached his last sermon at Wittenberg, he did not know it was going to be his last sermon. He preached that Sunday. He goes back into his home there at the Black Cloister, and he's in his study, and he writes a letter. He says, I'm a tired old man. I'm worn out, sick, half blind. My personal opinion is I think he had cataracts. Complains of his sight quite a bit at the end of his life. One eye blind. He calls himself the great Martin Luther, a one-eyed old man. I'm tired, he says. And I just want to be left at peace. But he has to make a trip back to his hometown at Eisleben. There's a dispute that breaks out among the town council. Luther never comes back alive. He dies there, the town of his birth. His body is brought back in its coffin and buried there in the church at Wittenberg. But before he made the trip to Eisleben, he preaches his last sermon at Wittenberg. He didn't know it was going to be his last sermon, but it ends up providentially being his last sermon, and he chastised his congregation. He chastised them because he saw them already turning their back on the gospel. You've done it already, he says. You're off to Aiken to see Joseph's pants, the relics. These things that before the Reformation, this is all you had, and this false church and this false gospel held these things out to you, and you couldn't see Christ. You couldn't see the gospel for all the distortion. And the Reformers cleared the deck and removed all that stuff so there would be a clear-eyed view from you to Jesus. Without the saints and without the relics and without the tradition. And we're not even out of the first generation. These are people who listen to Martin Luther preach every week. Maybe Luther's right. Let's cover our bases. It's been a while since we've been on a pilgrimage. Let's go to Aiken. Just in case. Let's go to Aiken. Let's see Joseph's pants. Oh, you foolish Wittenbergians. It's a false gospel. This is what Paul's telling Timothy. Hold fast to this, these sound words. This is what we have been entrusted with. This is the good deposit. and we are so susceptible to error. We are so susceptible to fall away. If it happened to Paul's congregations and it happened to Luther's congregations, why would we ever think we are immune to it? And why would we ever think we've got that covered, now let's move on? No, Timothy, I have written as clearly as I can. And I've written as many times as I can. And would you please take your stylus? And would you please follow after me? Paul's a consummate teacher. He not only gives the command, he gives the content. He also gives examples. In fact, we see one right in verse 15. Phygellus and Hermogenes, these who are in Asia, who have turned away from me. Apparently, Timothy knew of them, either by reputation or had met them. They were known in the church. Paul singles those two names out. There were others. It was a vivid example of those who did not follow the pattern and those who did not guard the deposit. But Paul's confident of better things with Timothy. And so he gives a positive example. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the graces in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me. Same expression from verse 13. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is God's truth succession plan. God's truth succession plan has one agenda item, and it is fidelity. To not waver, to not be innovative, to not think somehow in this generation we know better. Faithful men. Fidelity. That is the secret to God's truth succession plan.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind. Dr. Stephen Nichols was our featured speaker today as we continue to highlight our 2017 Ligonier National Conference. Dr. Nichols reminding us that discipleship is not about finding the latest innovative plan. It's following those paths that are mapped out in Scripture. There were 26 sessions at the conference this year, and we've compiled them onto 6 DVDs. We'd be happy to send you the set for your gift of any amount. You'll hear from men like Alistair Begg, Steve Lawson, John MacArthur, Albert Muller, Tim Challies, and of course, Dr. R.C. Sproul. Our number is 800-435-4343, or you can make your request and give your gift online at renewingyourmind.org. We do appreciate your financial gifts. We depend on your generosity to continue producing and presenting teaching series and conferences like this one. Again, request the 6 DVD set of the 2017 Ligonier National Conference for your gift of any amount. Our number again is 800-435-4343, and our web address is renewingyourmind.org. After his session at the conference, I invited Dr. Nichols to join us at our radio booth, and he shared with me what he would have added to his talk had he had just a few more minutes.
One of the things I would have said is how easy it is for us, as Paul goes on to say, you know, he gives us that challenge in chapter 1, follow the pattern of sound words. Then he goes on in chapter 4 to say that the time is coming when there will be those who will not give themselves over to sound teaching, but will follow the tickling of their ears. This is really the challenge for us, how easy it is in the short term to gain a hearing by using those tickling ear words. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be in this for the long haul. We're called in this to be faithful to God's word. We're not called in this to be popular to whatever happens to be the winds blowing in culture at this moment. But we're all susceptible to that temptation. Susceptible to that temptation in the church. I'd say we're susceptible to that temptation in our own homes and in our families. What is the latest guru saying about relationships? Or what is the latest guru saying about this? And Paul is giving us such a clear call to follow the pattern of sound words. And I think the challenge there for us is to trust that God's word indeed is the authority and indeed is best. We might not always see the immediate results, but if we are faithful to those sound words, then we will see the eternal results. And that's what matters.
Well, tomorrow we'll wrap up this two-week series from our 2017 National Conference with Dr. Albert Mohler. His session is titled, Building a Sure Foundation. So we hope you'll join us Friday for Renewing Your Mind.